What is up, Janksters? It's your boy Graham, also known as HamHawks42 on the internet. And Shadows over Innistrad will be launching on Arena tomorrow, actually, as of this recording, in almost 24 hours exactly, actually. We're going to see Shadows over Innistrad drop on Arena, and I'm very excited. I'm going to have a lot of fun exploring this set. There's a lot of crazy stuff in it. And the one card that I wanted to discuss today is the big scary mythic of the set in Emrakul, the Promised End. Emrakul is a 13/13 legendary creature Eldrazi for 13 colorless mana. The spell costs one less to cast for each card type among cards in your graveyard. When you cast this spell, you gain control of target opponent during that player's next turn. After that turn, that player takes an extra turn. And then Emrakul also has flying, trample, and protection from instance. So this is really cool for a number of reasons. One, it's a 13/13 flying trampler with protection from instance that is willing to stay in your graveyard. Now, there's a design that they did with a lot of the Eldrazi, I believe they printed later, that when they hit your graveyard, they shuffle back into your library, and in some cases, they shuffle your whole graveyard back into your library. So Emrakul the Aeon's Torn is one example that does that. And so as a result, if you want to do some kind of reanimation shenanigans, it's much tougher to pull off. It just doesn't work, frankly, in most situations, which is really a bummer. That said, this version of Emrakul doesn't mind chilling in the graveyard. Not a big deal. They're happy to hang out there and just kind of do the thing. So that rules. I love that, for starters. But that the benefit of that is kind of mitigated by how their effect works. So it says when you cast this spell, you gain control of target opponent during that player's next turn. So it's when you cast the spell that this triggers. So you get that ability just by putting Emrakul on the stack. So if your opponent has a counterspell to deal with Emrakul, the Promised End, before it hits the battlefield, that's fine. You still take over the turn, which is pretty great. And if they don't counter Emrakul on the way down, you take over their turn while you have a 13/13 flyer just chilling on your side of the board. So that's fantastic. And by the way, when you take over somebody's turn, you take over every single decision they make throughout that entire turn. They sit back and watch you play with their cards. You get full access to their hand. You get to make all the decisions in combat. You can activate their various abilities. Like, you get everything. So there are certain scenarios in which that is a devastating blow to your opponent. And there are others where it's not that, you know, where it's not awful. If your opponent has a sacrifice outlet on board, if they have a way to sacrifice their creatures or their permanents on the board, you know, your Ashnod's Altars and the like, then all of a sudden when you take over their turn, if they can't somehow get rid of that before you take over, then all of a sudden you can sacrifice everything they have and they get effectively no value out of it. Like, if you have an Ashnod's Altar down, you know, you sacrifice to create mana. Like, I can choose to sacrifice all this stuff and then not spend the mana and just let it fizzle. Like, that's pretty gross. There are also spells that force you to, like, pay life to do things. You can just choose not to do that. Also, you can use their own removal spells on their permanents. You know, there's nothing stopping you from using an Infernal Grasp targeting their own best creature. Like, that is, you know, it's one of those, it's a terrible idea for you to do that as the player. But if I'm your opponent, like, playing you like a puppet, all of a sudden, those kind of moves open up and become really powerful because I'm getting this kill spell out of the way. I'm also getting your creature out of the way. And in the case of Infernal Grasp, I'm doming you for two just because. Like, it's really brutal. I love it. So, I mean, and on top of that, technically, the other thing that's noteworthy there is you're taking over the player's turn. Or no, you are gaining control of target opponent. So the reason that that's relevant is for things like Hexproof. If they have a creature that has Hexproof, you are not the opponent targeting that creature. You are controlling the creature's controller as they target it. So Hexproof cannot help them from their own removal spells. That's a big deal. That's really relevant. Yeah, I think this card is going to be absolutely fantastic. Now, the major downside, in order to take advantage of your opponent's turn, in order to steal your opponent's turn, you do have to cast Emrakul. And in all likelihood, that the cost reduction is going to be relevant, right? There's a high likelihood you're going to have an artifact, creature, land, maybe, if you have built your deck to do that with Fabled Passage and things of that nature. So, okay, you could get, I don't know, four or five knocked off the casting cost pretty consistently with this. And if I have to spend 8 mana on this, I'm very happy. Because I get to Mindslaver my opponent for one turn, and I get the biggest creature online. Worst case scenario, if your opponent doesn't have a sac outlet or other kind of interaction, by the way, what you can do is attack poorly. You can choose to attack into Emrakul with their 5/5 that's doing a lot of cool stuff. And it just dies in combat. Because you are still controlling your board as well. And that's really neat. Yeah, I think that Mindslaver effect is really, really powerful. The only downside to it, if you're in a situation, this is going to sound like a really silly downside, but it is what it is. If you're in a situation where that is going to be detrimental and really backbreaking to your opponent, when you cast Emrakul, your opponent is probably just going to concede. You have to settle for just winning the game. You don't get to have your fun, which is, like, that is what it is. But that will win you games. So I do believe in a ramp deck. That's the other thing, though. Like, it's expensive. Emrakul is very, very expensive. So you're going to have to ramp into Emrakul, or you're going to have to cheat Emrakul out. Cheating out Emrakul is not going to it's not going to be as great as you want it to be. Which is a little unfortunate because you don't get the Mindslaver effect. You don't get to steal your opponent's turn. You still would have a massive body online. Now, that said, Hideaway is still very much a thing. And you do get Emrakul's ability whenever you cast Emrakul without paying its mana cost. So if you're using one with the Multiverse or Omniscience or Fight Rigging, for example, or any of the other Hideaway cards, all of a sudden you are casting Emrakul. And as a result, but you do so for free. And as a result, you get to jam and steal your opponent's turn. Now, they do get the turn after you take over. So be aware of that. So if you aren't able to completely cripple them in that turn, if you're not able to completely take them out or genuinely kill them by taking over their turn, which is possible. For example, if I have a creature with, ward, like say I have a Flesh Gorger online, the Phyrexian Flesh Gorger, it has ward, pay 3 life. If my opponent's at 3 or less, I can choose to use one of their spells to target the Flesh Gorger and pay the ward cost. And they just die immediately. That's really cool. I like that. So things like that, be aware of that. Honestly, the more I think about it, the more valuable that effect, the more I like that effect, because it will teach new players to think in a new way. Find those little bits of value, because you're literally approaching the game backwards. You're playing from your opponent's perspective when you have that in play. So find the lines, find the interesting effect. By the way, I mentioned Mindslaver. I use that word a handful of times. The first card in Magic's history that was able to take over an opponent's turn was called Mindslaver. That was actually its name. Let me pull it up real quick. Yeah, it was from the original Mirrodin block, and it introduced this idea. Mindslaver. It was a 6-drop legendary artifact. Pay 4, tap, sacrifice it. You gain control of target player's next turn. It functioned basically the same way. However, in the case of Mindslaver, you take over their turn, and then when their turn's over, they pass back to you, which was really brutal. And this was a sacrifice effect, so Mindslaver hit the graveyard, and then if you had ways to recur it out of your graveyard, you could loop it in really disgusting ways so your opponent never had an opportunity to play the game again. Really devastating stuff. So be aware of that. Emrakul doesn't quite work that way, or at least not quite as well. That said, if you had a way to bounce Emrakul and recast them, that flies. that could do the job. And as a result, you could take multiple turns for your opponent. But because of the way Emrakul is worded, they take the next turn regardless. So taking multiple turns is far less valuable in the way that would work. But all in all, this card is a house. It's incredibly powerful. It's also just it's going to be one of the largest creatures that we have. And, in the formats, at least until Yharnam Multani drops. But a 13-13 flyer is incredible. Like, it's just incredible. We all know what that can do. And the protection from instants is relevant. I want to point that out, and I want to speak to that a little bit. Protection from instants is a big deal. It means, in short, that Emrakul cannot be targeted by instants. Nor can Emrakul be damaged by instants as well. So if your opponent has an instant that deals damage to, like, all creatures or something, Emrakul will not take damage from it. So not that a Cinderclasm or something of that nature was going to be much of an issue for Emrakul anyway, but you never know. That's real. But if your opponent wants to target Emrakul with a kill spell, too bad. Like, it has to be sorcery speed, otherwise it will. This will not. You know, they're just gonna. Well, you literally cannot cast it. Targeting Emrakul, you just won't have the option. Like, if you have an Infernal Grasp in your hand and your opponent has an Emrakul down, when you put the, you know, like, when you cast on Arena, for example, if you cast the Infernal Grasp, I'm just using that as a general example, when you cast the Infernal Grasp, all of the eligible targets will highlight. Emrakul will not be one of them. It won't even give you the option. Yeah, and as far in paper, if you do that, like, if you attempt to play that, it's within your, you know, your opponent just has to point out, like, that's actually not legal. And, you know, a judge would say, like, no, you like, and it's not like, oh, you did that, but it doesn't work. It's, you literally cannot put that on the stack. Like, you're not allowed to do that move at all, based on the way that protection works. So, that's meaningful, that's important. Like, instants are one of the key ways that you would want to deal with a creature like this. Note, though, it does not have vigilance. So I have a feeling Wandering Emperor is going to exile a lot of these. That's kind of a big deal. Yeah. Anyway, I like this card. Emrakul the Promised End. It's the big Chungus. It's the huge monster in this set. And I want to get my hands on it. I want to play the biggest, baddest monsters I can get my hands on. So Emrakul, I'm gonna ninja this in with Satoru Mazawa. I'm going to reanimate it with Unburial Rites. I'm gonna just cast it. I'm going to ramp into it and, like, fight rig and cast it. That's 100% going to happen. Like, in Explorer and Historic, be aware, this card is going to be all over in those, like, big Timmy decks. I don't know that it's going to make a huge impact on the, like, Lord of the Ground competitive scene, but for some of those big janky brews, this is going to be a really fun top end. So, thanks so much for checking out the video or the podcast, however you consume this. I appreciate you. Thank you for being here, and I'll catch you on the next one.